join in on the conversation with Ted, call 1-970-587-5171. Or in the Denver metropolitan area, it's 1-303-654-9924. And now, here's Ted.
And good morning, all you beautiful people across this great land of ours. Great to be alive Monday morning. And good morning to you folks up in Canada and Mexico, especially in Mexico. Bill Clinton's making his trip there today. He's going to be discussing, among other things, the drug problem in Mexico and how those nasty people down there are so actively involved in drug corruption. And I guess Billy Clinton's going to try to straighten them out there. Hey, Mr. Clinton, I want to tell you something. I'll tell you how to stop the drugs flowing into the United States. Cut off the CIA drug operation. That'll do it. And I've got some other recommendations for you. Give me a call later on in the afternoon. I'll be glad to talk to you about it, Mr. Clinton. Okay, and how about the rest of the folks across the country? Great to be alive, and thanks for tuning in to the Ted Gunderson Intelligence Report. We have back. Let's see, this is the fourth or fifth show, Chip. We have Gene Tatum back. Gene Tatum's a 25-year deep cover op, CIA, and we have a series, folks, of 12 hours, six shows. We're offering to you for $49.95. This is a must. Get copies of these tapes and make copies yourself and distribute them to your friends. This is one of the most educational series of behind-the-scenes operation by a shadow government that you will ever run across any place. Welcome to the show, Chip.
Thank you, Ted. Good to be here today.
Okay, Chip, let's just start out by giving your address, and folks, take this address down and tell these people what you have to offer in the way of records, of books, and reports.
I think the biggest thing I have are the documents which can be used in a court of law to prosecute these people for the crimes of trafficking cocaine into the United States, these government employees, these people who were paid by your hard-earned tax dollars, millions and millions of dollars for their efforts. The cost was probably in the billions for what went on down there, while they were lining their pockets with gold from the cocaine that they were shipping up. Those documents are available as the Tatum Chronicles at 1-800-201-7892, 800-201-7892, extension 58. For those of you out of the country, it's 417-625-0303.
Now, understand, folks, Chip is 25 years. Deep cover CIA agent. He has furnished, for those of you who have not heard him before, unbelievable information about behind-the-scenes activity. And what he's offering to you is documentation. We had a caller, I think, on our second or third show. How do we know you're for real, Chip? Well, here's the documentation, folks. All you have to do is call that number and get it. What does this cost, Chip?
It's $19.95 plus shipping and handling.
And believe me, folks, that's a bargain. Chip's not trying to get rich on these activities, and by furnishing these reports, he's just trying to recover his money and get the word out, as we are also trying to do. Chip, you know, since you've been on the air, this is, as I said, the third or fourth or fifth show, we've talked about the downfall of communism, Chinese communists, the training in the CIA. We talked about Ollie North quite a bit, his activities. By the way, you think that Bill Clinton will stop off any of those air bases he set up for his drug operation down in South and Central America? There were five of them you mentioned.
Uh-huh.
And I doubt it, don't you?
Oh, I seriously doubt that. There were some very unhappy people down there. They left a trail of bodies.
Yes. Natives?
And local politicians and, yes.
Well, so Bill won't be stopping at any of those bases. We talked about Nixon, President Nixon. He gave the order on Operation Red Rock. We talked about the Pegasus group. That's the spies spying on the spies. You know, we have a long ways to go, Chip, and I don't think we're going to make it with this show and the show tomorrow, which is going to be the sixth, this is the fifth and sixth shows. Chip, why don't we talk a little bit about the money laundering, particularly in Colorado. The folks in Colorado heard the show over the last several series, have made questions and made phone calls and said, hey, what about this money laundering over here in Colorado? Why don't you talk about that a little bit?
Well, I know that money's were, you know, the the problem you have when you're shipping huge quantities of cocaine and making a lot of money, and is what do you do with the money? I know the United States engaged in a big operation called Operation Greenback, which was follow the money. Let's see where this money's going so we know who's involved in this stuff. And that took down, I understand, attorneys and judges and everything in South Florida. So understanding that the problem you have is what to do with these greenbacks once you get them, it was decided that it's very easy to launder those in the form of construction and construction monies. I think they chose several states in the United States to do this, and due to the banking laws. I know that Colorado, and I know Norwest wasn't in Colorado at the time, but using that as an example, if you banked at one Norwest back in the, I guess, in the 80s, you didn't necessarily, or there wasn't banking privileges at another Norwest branch. Branch banking wasn't in place at that time. So these are specific, separate accounts that can be set up. Also, there wasn't licensing for mortgage brokers, mortgage bankers, mortgage lenders in Colorado, speaking specifically of Colorado, so that they weren't controlled, they weren't audited.
It'd be natural they would target Colorado then.
Sure, that was a prime area. And by utilizing construction monies, a small mortgage company or a mortgage lender could go in and they could provide construction loans to builders. And that's the one thing a builder is always shy of. You know, he needs construction monies. He needs to get that house built for these people, and needs to get it built quick. So by providing construction monies into these builders, two things were done. First of all, it provided homes readily available in the marketplace. The second thing it did is it availed the drug money to be laundered.
Okay, be right back, folks. Ted Gunderson, Southern Support. We're back, and my guest today is Chip Tatum, 25-year CIA deep cover agent. Chip, you were talking about money laundering, and you're talking about they go into the building profession. It gives the builder an opportunity to get the cash and then get the money and get the house up in an expedite fashion, right?
They looked at it as being able to help in providing the American dream.
Okay, and then that happened in Colorado. What about other states?
I can't talk about other states because I wasn't there. I'm not sure. I know that two pipelines were in that. One was into Ohio and one was into Arkansas. What was done with those monies in those states, I don't know.
Well, you know, Arkansas, I mean, that was set up, the money from MENA, Arkansas Development Finance Authority, that money went to Rostenkowski's Bank in Chicago and a BCCI Bank in Atlanta, and also one in Florida. You're aware of that, I guess, aren't you?
I've heard that. That's correct, yeah.
Yeah, and I've heard that from many sources. Let's go back and talk about who in Colorado would be involved. What bankers? Can you name those?
Well, I don't think I will right now, only because liability could be real high in talking about civilian entities. I would like to first be able to do that to a subcommittee.
Maybe we can arrange for a subcommittee. Any of you folks out there have any influence over Congress, congressional subcommittees, give us a call, 702-876-5208, or you can call Chip or write to him at his address, which is what, Chip?
Post Office Box 895-082, Leesburg, Florida, 34789.
And this is an open invitation. And what about some of the politicians involved in Colorado? Can you name some of those? How about Neil Bush? Wasn't he involved in banking in Colorado at that time?
Absolutely. Dead in the middle of everything.
Oh, okay. So we did it. We do get a name out of you then, don't we?
There's one for you. another name I probably am pretty comfortable, simply because Stu's been pushing it for a long time, and it's right dead on, is Mr. Millman. With his group, Larry Mizell and the MDC group, all of that group.
Okay,
heavily involved
now,
in illegal money.
Yes. Okay, let's go back now. Let's talk about how this takes place, the mechanics of it.
The mechanics are real basic, Ted. You know, as the FBI, if large deposits and cash deposits are made into a particular account, I believe you guys are made aware of that. Is that correct?
Well, I think that the Treasury Department is.
Treasury, okay. So in order to offset that, the depositor needs to have documents for that banker so that the banker doesn't get in trouble by making that deposit without reporting it into Treasury. So what happens is, if we take a $100,000 loan, for example, the money is lent to the builder builds the facility, then the permanent mortgage money pays off that loan at the final closing. At that closing, it's certified checks that you'll get from the title company, but back then it wasn't necessarily that. It may have been a certified check, but it wasn't stated what it was. It just says, return to, let's say, ABC Mortgage. And it'll have the dollar amount, $108,000 or something like that, including the interest that you get on your monies. So they were not only getting that, their money laundered, but they were getting interest. They would open up, for this example, we'll use 10 basic accounts. Say they opened one at Silverado, they opened one maybe at Women's Bank, they opened one, you know, at 10 different banks or 10 different branches around the Denver area, or even into Colorado Springs, maybe even into Grand Junction. And they would take these $100,000, $106,000, whatever it was, the certified check that they'd get from the title company, and they'd put it in Bank 1, and the banker wouldn't question it. They'd go to Bank 2, and they'd take $106,000 in cash, which is drug proceeds, they'd put it in Bank 2. The banker, you know, may say, the vice president of the bank or whatever might walk up and say, well, you know, what's the source of these funds? And they could pull out the closing statement and see that it was a closing. So after a few deposits, it was never questioned from then on. They understood it was a question. And they did the same thing at Bank 3 with the same closing statement, Bank 4 the same closing statement, Bank 5 with the same closing statement.
In separate accounts, though.
In separate accounts.
Separate new accounts.
And at separate banks, so that this $100,000 all of a sudden became $1 million.
Right. And then how would they draw that money out eventually? To their own discretion and whatever
sure,
they wanted to draw it out?
It's company money. It's clean company money at that point.
Yeah. And they use it to run their businesses then, right?
Buy real estate nationally, run the businesses, you bet.
And from that money, they go into so-called legitimate businesses, and they'd be on their way.
And that's right. And that's basically how you know, proprietary companies are set up and run.
Now, did they change the banking laws so that can't happen anymore?
Well, the way it can't happen right now is it can't happen at Norwest Bank. You know, it's really hard to go and have 10 accounts in the same company and make those deposits. But if you go to Key Bank or Norwest Bank or, Bank One, you know, separate accounts, they don't report to one another. So
you can open up bank accounts at different banks.
Sure.
Because there's not going to be any cross-check on it then.
That's correct. Maybe at Federal Reserve there is, and if Federal Reserve asks about a particular deposit, they could show a document and say, yeah, here you go. It was a...
Yeah. Well, Federal Reserve, I mean, that's another entity altogether, and they're not part of the government. They're a private corporation held very tightly, and we know what they're up to. They take the money from the IRS. The IRS is not a private corporation, and give it over to the World International Monetary Fund.
Well, they're not going to question their people's proceeds.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Okay, time for another quick break. Ted Gunderson Intelligence Report.
Now, here's Ted.
And we're back, folks. My guest today is Chip Tatum, 25-year deep covered CIA black ops agent. And before we go any further, let me mention to you folks in Las Vegas, Kathy O'Brien and Mark Phillips, Kathy, a victim of the CIA mind control MKUltra, will be at the San Remo Hotel tomorrow night, Tuesday night at 7 p.m. Topic will be mind control out of control. Don't miss it. Got to hear what they have to say. It's for real. I've checked these people out front to back, sideways and upside down, and believe me, they are not phonies. They are legitimate, and I have personally met and talked with them. And we've had them on this very show. So be sure tomorrow night at 7 p.m. go to the San Remo Hotel for Kathy O'Brien, Mark Phillips, for lecture Mind Control Out of Control. By the way, their book, Transformation of America, is available by sending $18 to me, Ted Gunderson, Post Office Box 18,000-259, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89109. Chip, are you there?
I'm here, Ted.
Chip, let's talk about MIAPOWs. That just galls me. We left 8,400 MIAs in North Korea. We left between 35,000 and 50,000 GIs in Russia after World War II. Did not go after them. Patton said he was going to go after them personally. He died shortly thereafter. We have the Southeast Asia during the Vietnam War. We had over, 2,500 that we left behind, unaccounted for. These are boys that are fighting for their country. And it just galls me to think that our government is not going out there and trying to find them on behalf of the survivors and because of the boys themselves. And you mentioned on one of the earlier shows, Chip, how you were sent over to Europe to find a couple of them. You found them, and they were in the control of what? The communist countries, weren't they?
Communist-like countries, that's correct.
Yeah, what about this MIAPOW? Other than that, why don't you just kind of briefly review that case again and then see if, can you tell us if there are any other cases involved or any other instances where you can talk about it?
Sure. Mr. Colby was quite concerned, I guess. His history of valor during World War II, you know, the one thing he didn't want is he didn't want these boys to go unnamed or, you know, unchased. We needed to chase them. We needed to find them. We needed to do something about them. But once we did it, it was up to the administration to go from there, and to get whoever is blocking that, whether it be at state Secretary of State level, State Department level, or at the executive office level, he couldn't get it beyond there. I think he was completely frustrated with that. And to be honest, I spent a lot of time, a lot of man hours, and it's not so safe in the 70s, late 70s, walking around Yugoslavia, Romania, Bulgaria. Trying to track down these people, questioning, and on the second side of that, trying to document contacts with agents. So it's a pretty precarious business.
So what you're saying is, in the 70s, you were behind the Iron Curtain and trying to look at these boys. And did you speak the languages?
We worked in a team. I had a female that worked along with me, and she was great. She spoke, I think, seven different languages. I was known as just an American on vacation.
Mm-hmm.
So, and they knew who I was.
Did they know who she was?
I don't think that they knew who she was. I believe that she was doubling up.
She was a double agent?
Sure. We were providing information into her so she could use that to buy information from them, simply to try to locate some of these boys over there.
And it worked, though, didn't it?
It did. We were able to come up with two names from over there. Those were passed in and verified back at back to Mr. Colby, and I don't know that anything ever went from there.
You know if their relatives were notified?
I don't. And I have someone, and let me say thanks to Joe. Joe's been working hard at trying to come up with the actual names. I know one was a Captain Hill or Hull or, you know, something to that effect. And but beyond that, I believe he was a pilot. I don't think he was a ground pounder. The other one, I just can't beat my head enough to get it to come out.
Well, Joe, who's Joe?
Joe is a gentleman, I think Joe is out in Louisiana, that's researching with some people that he has that work with the MIA efforts and KIA efforts.
Well, of course, you're aware of Red McDaniel with the American Defense Institute.
Oh, yes, I am.
Yeah, Red and I are good friends, and Red has been looking for MIAPOWs for some time. Last time I talked to him, he said he thought he was going to get a big break on it. Of course, the administration's blocking it. Time for another break. I'll be back in just a few moments. Ted Gunnarsson, Intelligence Report. And we're back, and my guest today is Chip Tatum, Chip, 25-year veteran, CIA Black Ops agent. And, folks, I made a mistake. Yes, Ted Gunnarsson makes mistakes once in a while. Also, 7 p.m. tonight, not tomorrow night, for Kathy O'Brien and Mark Phillips at the San Remo Hotel. lecture, Mind Control, Out of Control, Transformation of America, available, the book, for $18 to Ted Gunderson, Post Office Box 18259, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89109. Correction, tonight and not tomorrow night for Kathy O'Brien and Mark Phillips. You know, before we go back to you, Chip, let me just mention one other thing. You know, I think it's important that I notify all my fellow former FBI agents what's going on. They seem to be out playing golf, not doing their research, not know what's going on behind the scenes. And I have on the plan a program to write to every former FBI agent that's retired and that's also resigned, whatever the situation might be. There's more than 7,000 of them. And I've already written a letter. It was on the computer. It was erased, over the weekend or sometime. So we went in yesterday to work on it, and it's gone. So I find that very interesting. But anyway, I need some help, folks, financial help. I need between $4,000 and $4,500 to get this letter out. I figure 32 cents or whatever. Maybe we can get it down to 20 cents a stamp. Also the stationery and what have you. Maybe I can do it for less. But anyway, I need help. So far, you folks have sent in a little under $200. Thanks for your help so far, but if you want to help me get this letter out to the former agents and wake them up, and I think this could be a very, very profitable project, to send me some money, Ted Gunderson, Post Office Box 18000-259, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89109, lower left-hand corner, put down a notation, FBI project. Okay, we got a caller from Colorado. Randy, are you there?
I'm here.
Randy, you have a question for Chip Tatum.
Yeah, since we're talking about POW MIAs, here's a question for you. And we need to ask this question of all of our elected officials and any military personnel, you know, that have any kind of rank. Here's the question. If all battle zones, which have involved United States troops since Korea, have been United Nations treaty controlled, which they have, and all United States troops under United Nations became mercenary soldiers the second they left American soil, then the Geneva Convention Treaty of Protection no longer applied to them. Because of this, is it not true that if these mercenary soldiers became prisoners or are missing in action and are later located, that the enemy country is protected by treaty law from returning them to American soil?
That's heavy. Where did you get that, Randy?
From an American publication out of Payson, Arizona.
So what you're saying is there's no obligation to return our boys?
There was one little sentence here. The general in charge at this meeting was unable to give a good answer and seemed to be looking for the exit door.
Who was the general?
They don't say.
This is at a lecture, and they read this to him after his lecture?
At a meeting in Phoenix. And I don't have a date, but it's within April 5th, 97.
So this is by treaty, right?
Yeah. Well, if you think about it, the UN is not a sovereign entity, not a country. If I go join up with, XYZ country, I'm a mercenary soldier to them. And the Geneva Convention exclusively excludes mercenaries.
Well, we need to get that to every congressman and every senator in the United States, and let's get it changed.
And then the other question to follow that one up is, okay, since the Gulf War was a United Nations operation, does the military, the VA, the Department of Defense, have any obligation to treat our troops for Gulf War illness?
Well, I think they have an obligation because George Bush sent them over there.
Well, sure, they have the obligation, but are they going to turn around and say, well, they were mercenary soldiers, so we don't have to treat them?
Well, so far, they're putting on the disguise of treating them, although, according to Joyce Riley, they're really not doing a good job. They're probably doing more experimenting on them than anything else. Do you have any comments on those two questions, Chip?
Well, on getting the United Nations to treat them, I think if the United States has only recently recognized their obligation to do anything, it's going to take just as much time, if ever, to get the UN to do it, especially since we still owe them billions of dollars.
Right. Do you have any other comments you want to make, Randy?
That's it for today. God bless and hang in, guys.
Thank you for calling. Randy, back to the MIA POWs. Who's behind this? Our boy's back.
Was Andy? That for me, Ted?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yep, I'm
you know, when people talk about the Geneva Convention and whether, when it comes to the Geneva Convention and following rules of engagement and so forth, the United States military is probably one of the only countries that comes close to that. when you're captured and held prisoner, the atrocities that United States servicemen endure shouldn't be expected of anyone. It should be the sole purpose of the United States, when they lose one man as a prisoner, to get that man back.
Well, I agree 100%, but it's being blocked. Guys like Richard Armitage are giving us lip service about it, saying they don't exist. Richard Armitage being former Deputy Secretary of State, I believe. And what about that? I mean,
I think the Department of Defense needed to get some balls beneath their belt and do something about it. Excuse the language, Ted.
It's all right. It's very, very appropriate, as I say, under the circumstances. This is one of my pet peeves. Yes, but somebody's blocking the Department of Defense. They're blocking the State Department. It seems like every time you turn around, there's a problem. Now,
Listen, Ted, when it gets right down to brass tacks, if that chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff decides to do something, you don't think he can do it?
Well, even what about the president? Think
what
he
about
can overrule the president?
There's so many third world countries in the world. Yeah, that's a big army. If that chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff says, "Mr. President, we're going in to get this guy,"
sit down and relax.
I think that he would be allowed to do that.
I think the president would probably let him go right away. Don't you?
Well, I don't know. I think that they're chosen ahead of time so that would never happen.
Exactly. Okay. That's the key. Absolutely, you're 100% right. The fact remains, our boys have been left behind, thousands upon thousands of them. Nobody's going after them, and I think it's tragic. Now, I heard that every president since Nixon has known about the MIA's being over there, and yet administration after administration says they're not there. There is a huge cover-up here, and I don't know what we can do about it. Do you have any thoughts on that? I mean, Red McDaniel with the American Defense Institute is doing everything he can do, but what else can we do? What can the American people do?
Yeah, they can demand to their senators, you know, this is what we want done. You know, the American people are a very strong forum. Those senators base everything that they do on opinion polls. If the issue isn't addressed, then it's not an issue. If the American people started addressing it in letters or in whatever, and it comes in mass, then it becomes an issue. Then it becomes something that they need to deal with. Instead of the get tough on crime stuff and throw all these little corner drug dealers in.
Time for break, Chip. Right back, folks, at Gunnarsson Thousand Support.
To join in on the conversation with Ted, call 1-970-587-5171. Or in the Denver metropolitan area, 1-303-654-9924. And now, back to Ted.
And we're back. My guest today is Chip Tatum, 25-year CIA agent. Don't forget, folks, before I talk to Chip, Kathy O'Brien, Mark Phillips, tonight, San Remo Hotel, 7 p.m., mind control out of control. Chip, why would the administrations from Nixon on and the State Department, why do they not want our boys to come home? That's a question that's just been nagging at me for years.
Well, not only you. Here I was over in the communist bloc countries on a three-year, it was scheduled for 3 years. Mr. Bush was, when I think about it, was the director of the CIA at the time when we found these two boys. And within 6 weeks after finding them, I was shipped back to the U.S. That was done. I was off to Colorado.
And you never heard anything more about it?
Never heard anything more about it.
Have you talked to Red McDaniel about these two boys?
I haven't talked to Red, no.
Would you make a note of doing that?
I will.
Because I know that he's a very dedicated man to this cause. Now we have Senator, is it McCain down in Arizona? Senator, what's the senator's name? Who's a former POW?
I don't know.
Well, he's a senator down in Arizona, and he was a POW.
Uh-huh.
And I don't think we're even getting the support from him that we should have.
Well, they're on to other parts of their lives.
Well, yeah,
politicians think that the American people, their sole purpose is to get tough on crime. You know, there's not a criminal activity or a criminal act that can be done. other than capital offenses, that a person should be in prison for more than 5 years on, and, you know, most other countries agree with that. But we're filling our prisons with guys who made a false statement to the IRS, which all of us have done. They're going to prison for 10 to 12 years because they took it to trial. That's crazy.
They're political prisoners.
Sure.
Yep.
Yeah.
And that's what this is all about. They're putting these people in jail because they're, quote, anti-government. But they're not anti-government. They're anti-corruption, and let's expose the dirty politicians and the people that are involved in this drug operation. Besides that, most crimes that are committed in this country are because of drugs, and the CIA is bringing the drugs in like by the plane load.
That's true. That's the primary push of people that I met when I was in prison, other than the white-collar crime people. And like I say, there's not a white-collar crime that exists that a person should be in prison for over 5 years for. That's absurd. You know, it doesn't do it more than imprisons them for their crime, and it doesn't do anything to rehabilitate them, because the Federal Bureau of Prisons does not rehabilitate any longer.
You know, I was watching A&E over the weekend. They had a program about the prison system and how they're so crowded. And they said that something like there's 40% overcrowded in this country. And but I personally know that there are 8 prisons in the state of Texas that are staffed, but there's no inmates in there.
Mm-hmm.
Don't you find that interesting?
That's real interesting. But, you know, with the prison system industries that they have, those are big dollar entities, and they need to staff those industries. You know, Unicor is a self-supporting entity. It makes millions and millions of dollars every year.
Well, not to mention the fact that the construction itself is worth millions of dollars.
Sure, and done by inmates.
That's right. And also, Chip, I have reliable information that they're using federal prisoners to convert these military bases over to internment camps and concentration camps. They're paying them $5.50 a day, and they're sending them on out to work in these various locations. Have you heard anything about that?
I had some friends who went off to a work detail from prison. Yeah, that's exactly what they do. They use inmate labor. You know, they get the engineering done, they sub that out, and they have but they support that labor and those contracts with manpower and labor manpower, and pay the inmate 12.5 cents an hour.
Well, they're building all these prisons. You kind of makes you wonder why. Well, I've got an idea why, because I think when the martial law comes, they're going to ground up a bunch of us and they're going to throw us into those various locations.
I think you're dead on.
Yeah, I know I am. So we've got to make hay while we can, folks. Now, let's go back. You know, I've got so many things I want to ask you about and talk to you about. How about CIA recruiting of civilians? That's very common, isn't it?
Contractor, asset, talents, you know, whenever you need something in particular, you're always looking for someone who's good at what they do.
And very common?
Sure.
And you have any
I understand by newspaper articles recently, though, that that's being restricted to agents. You know, they're no longer able to set up their network unchecked. You know, they have to go through an intensive screening process now to see if the person who's providing the services, you know, are moral enough to provide those services?
Well, what you're saying is too many of them are exposed in the operation and they're concerned about it.
That plus with media out there, media is finding that, hey, these guys really aren't priests out here that are priest quality, that are working as talents or assets to the CIA. These guys are pretty bad guys.
Well, you're talking about alternative media saying that. I don't see the mainstream media saying much about it.
Well, I did. I think I read it in the New York Times or Wall Street Journal. I saw that where the CIA had said that they were dumping about 1,000 assets out of the Central and South America arena.
Yes, I saw that also, but that doesn't say much about what's left over either.
No, that's correct.
And that doesn't necessarily curtail their activities or the direction of their activities.
And that's true.
Well, you know, Chip, I've talked to a number of people who were involved with the CIA, and they don't ever give you a contract, and they don't ever sign on the dotted line, so that later on, something goes bad, you cannot prove that you were CIA agent or involved in the CIA, right?
Like the antique business, it's an all-cash business.
All cash, and no contract signed.
No contracts, no documents to follow up and get anyone to say, hey, you know, I was working for these guys. That's because, you know, under Rule 12.3 of federal criminal procedures, an intelligent asset or someone working for intelligence or law enforcement is exempt from criminal activity if they're doing it in the name of the United States.
Yeah, but then they can turn right around with no proof and put you in jail for illegal activity, which is what they're doing.
Right, if you can't show that you're an intelligence asset, that's exactly right, and that's how they get away with it.
Okay, time for another break, folks. They're sure to come around fast. Ted Gunderson, Intelligence Report, no question about it.
Now, here's Ted.
And we're back. My guest today is Chip Tatum, 25-year Black Ops CIA agent. And Chip, you mentioned on one of your shows here recently about all the attorneys that are in prison for various reasons, I guess because they took on the government, right?
Yeah, most of them were the successful attorneys who were able to successfully defend their clients time after time in federal court. Most of them end up not being able to pursue their career very long.
Oh, you're talking about people like you, and they came in and rescued you through the legal process, and they were too good for the federal prosecutors, so they put them in jail to get them out of circulation.
And that's one thing they did, one strategy they used on Gotti. If you'll recall, they took his attorney, who had successfully defended him on several occasions, placed him under federal investigation so he could not defend him in Gotti's trial, and subsequently got a conviction on Gotti.
And what happened to his attorney, do you know?
After the trial, he was released from investigation, was able to practice as he wanted.
Well, it's called dirty politics. How many attorneys have you run into when you were in the system?
Gee. 30 or 40?
Unbelievable. What do they have to say about it?
Well, and these were prominent attorneys. They weren't just, little guys working in sweatshops.
What did they get them on, Chip?
Oh, one of them, I know one in particular was gotten on, he was set up by the DEA in making a, I guess they made a cash payment to him, and he had a safe in his office. He'd put the cash in his safe, and about once a month he'd go down and deposit cash. And historically, it showed that once a month he'd deposit cash. But because he didn't, within 3 days or whatever, fill out a form and report that cash, they got him on some type of tax fraud or something by not filling out the form within a certain amount of time.
Well, where there's a way, there's a will, and these fellas know all the tricks of the trade. Folks, we've got about two more minutes, and I want to be sure to mention before we close, we usually close in a hurry, this is the fifth in a series of interviews with Chip, and a total of six shows, and we're going to offer this to you. 12 hours of interviews with Chip for $49.95. It's $120 value for $49.95. You can obtain a copy of this tape by dialing 1-800-205-6245. Now, we haven't begun to cover everything that I wanted to ask Chip about, although we're making some progress. So we're going to have Chip back on the 16th of May, and then we're going to have him back starting the 27th until we run out of questions and until Chip is totally exhausted and can't come on the show anymore. Is that all right, Chip?
That is, Ted, but I have to change that 16th of May. The U.S. Probation Office wants me in their office on that day, so.
Oh, well.
I hope you're going to
be available for the 27th, 28th, and 29th shows, right?
Oh, I'm fine for those.
Are you? Okay, so we'll have to cross you off on the 16th then, huh?
Right.
Okay, Chip, is there anything else you want to mention today before we close the show out?
I don't think so. I would like to mention that the Chronicles are available. And please, if you get a Chronicle, make copies of the documents. Give it to a friend, give it to an attorney, give it to a local politician, or give it to your congressman or senator. Let them see that these documents exist, that Ms. Reno is saying, I have no evidence.
Give them your address, Jeff.
They can order it through 1-800-201-7892, 800-201-7892, extension 58, out of the country, 417-625-0303.
And send your money to me, folks, for my letter to the ex-FBI agent. See you tomorrow, folks. Also, those of you who can stay on the second hour, we look forward to talking to you.
Gunderson Intelligence Report. To contact us, write the Ted L. Gunderson Intelligence Report, P.O. Box 18000-259, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89114.
Wear it with pride. Make a statement. It's your freedom. Let it ring, t-shirt. That's right. It's absolutely free. That's right, free. by joining the American Freedom Network today for $33. Get the next 12 issues of the American Freedom Magazine and your free t-shirt. Renew your subscription, extend it, or join today for your Freedom Let It Ring t-shirt. $33 to join today. Send checks or money orders to P.O. Box 430, Johnstown, Colorado 80534, or call 1-800-205-6245. That's 1-800-205-6245.
Children No More by Brenda Scott explores the sex, drugs, and violence that confront our children today. Without a value system or parental involvement, our kids have become easy prey. Learn how to watch for danger signals and how to counsel your kids. It's a different world from when you grew up, and you need this easy-to-read and highly informational book, only $18.95 postpaid. Order Children No More, a 201-page softcover book, by calling 800-205-6245. That's 800-205-6245.
We are closed captioned for the politically impaired. KHNC Johnstown, KTMG, Deer Trail.
Around the world, around the clock, this is UPI News. The Senate is getting to work on a disaster relief bill totaling $5.5 billion. It would help, among others, those hurt by the flooding in the upper Midwest. UPI's Pi Chamberlain reports it now appears to have clear sailing.
The biggest obstacle to passage has been dropped. As part of last week's budget deal, Republicans decided not to attach to the disaster aid package a plan opposed by President Clinton to prevent government shutdowns by providing automatic appropriations that would kick in if regular appropriations were late or had been vetoed. Interior Secretary Babbitt says a veto could also be triggered, though, if two other provisions are in this bill. One of them would waive the Endangered Species Act for damaged flood control projects. The other would stop regulations of access to rights of way on federal land. Pi Chamberlain, Capitol Hill.
One of the tracking dogs searching for two members of the Republic of Texas who are still on the loose has been wounded. It happened in the West Texas mountains near Davis. Lawmen have been looking for the two since four other members of the militant group gave up Saturday. A tragedy aboard an American aircraft carrier off Florida. A woman apparently fell overboard last week. The search has now been called off. Bob Dole says he'll have some advice for Republicans in Congress when he speaks at a Republican retreat this weekend.
Push the agenda. You won. I'm the guy that lost. You won. The Republican Congress, you have a good agenda. The American people support it. And let's get ready for 98.
Dole sent his loan to House Speaker Newt Gingrich as a way of giving after being on the receiving end all his life. He appeared on NBC's Today Show. President Clinton takes off this afternoon on his trip to Mexico, Costa Rica, and Barbados, and his physical therapists are expected to go with him so he doesn't lose any recovery time on his knee. From the UPI News Center in Washington, I'm Craig Smith. In Boulder, Colorado, police are hoping the worst is over after a weekend of rioting by college students. The story from Brian Jordan.
Riot police fired tear gas to disperse crowds, pelting them with rocks, bricks, and bottles, and firefighters doused small blazes in two nights of trouble that left at least 18 officers and 24 young people injured. Windows were smashed in businesses and cars, parking meters were broken, and students lit the contents of dumpsters on fire, rolling one down a hill toward officers. Student leaders say police have gone overboard trying to enforce laws aimed at curbing underage drinking, which grew out of the school's much-ballyhooed crackdown on alcohol consumption at campus functions. A statement by the student union said, in an attempt to curb underage drinking throughout the Boulder community, students have been treated as a nuisance rather than valued members of the community. Trouble appears to have started when a block party got out of hand Friday night. Brian Jordan, Denver.
On Wall Street, the Dow is flirting with record territory, currently up 28 points. This is UPI News. A Canadian court has decided that a Saudi Arabian suspected of taking part in a bombing last summer that killed 19 American servicemen in Dhahran, Saudi Arabia, may be deported. He has refused to testify, leaving the court to base its ruling on testimony submitted earlier by immigration officials. Piled up credit card debt may have driven a woman in the Los Angeles area to kill herself and her young son. UPI's Dennis Daly reports.
Over the weekend, a woman apparently killed herself by stepping into the path of an oncoming train. Credit card debt. The Los Angeles Times says her husband says that his wife of 25 years cried all the time because she thought she couldn't provide for the couple's 11-year-old son in the way she would have liked. The husband found the son, Daniel, inside their one-bedroom apartment just minutes before the wife apparently committed suicide by stepping in front of the train in Anaheim.
I'm Craig Smith. That's the news from UPI.
Where does money come from? Where does it go? Who makes it? The money magician's secrets are unveiled in The Creature from Jekyll Island. In this compelling book by G. Edward Griffin, you get a close look at the smoke and mirrors that create the illusion called money. It's all here, the cause of war, inflation, depression, and prosperity. Your worldview will definitely change. Putting it simply, this may be the most important book on world affairs you'll ever read. Order your copy from the American Freedom Network for only $24, postage paid, at 1-800-205-6245.
With the Volcano Stove, you can cook two chickens back-to-back with only 12 briquettes. Baking cobblers are easy when following instructions. In a survival situation, 25 pounds of briquettes will cook two meals a day for 2 weeks for up to 12 people. Or you can stack 3 to 4 Dutch ovens on the Volcano Stove and feed 30 or more people. The highly versatile Volcano Stove, on sale for only $99.99 plus shipping, makes a perfect gift. Call 1-800-205-6245. That's 1-800-205-6245.
Welcome to the Ted Gunderson Intelligence Report with former FBI Chief Ted L. Gunderson. To join in on the conversation with Ted, call 1-970-587-5171. Or in the Denver metropolitan area, it's 1-303-654-9924. And now, here's Ted.
And good morning, all you beautiful people across this great land of ours. And today, to you folks in Canada and Mexico, Central and South America, Europe, Asia, and Africa, thank you for tuning in to the Ted Gunderson Intelligence Report. Well, today, President Bill Clinton will be in Mexico to discuss, among other things, the drug problem. I find that very amusing. And, you know, my guest today is, again, Chip Tatum. He's back for the fifth time, and we're doing a series of audio tapes, 12 shows altogether. He'll be back again tomorrow, six shows, actually, 12 hours, $49.95 to 1-800-205-6245. Welcome to the show again, Chip. And the first hour we talked about, for those of you who could not tune in the first hour, we talked about money laundering. The money is laundered, the drug money is laundered, particularly in Colorado because of the weak banking laws. We talked about the MIAs, POWs, how the various administrations have not come to the rescue of these young men, these brave men who fought for their country. And we talked about CIA recruiting of civilians and about how successful attorneys who defend individuals against the prosecutors, against the U.S. government, successful attorneys are themselves set up and sent to jail. So they can get them out of circulation. Seems like we're having some real serious problems in this country, Chip.
I believe we are having some real serious problems, Ted, and it's all toward one purpose, I believe.
Yes, what do you think that is? I know what I have my thoughts about.
I believe that there was a man who would be king of the world, and there are severals who loved their elite positions and want to ensure those.
And we're talking about United Nations, one world government, new world order, and so forth.
That's correct.
And I think it's been on the drawing board since 1776 when Adam Weishaupt himself set up at the request of the Rothschilds, the Illuminati, and they've just made phenomenal strides. And the reason they've been able to succeed and the reason they have been able to function as effectively as they have is because the mainstream media has not exposed them. And, in fact, the mainstream media has been infiltrated. And the mainstream media is part of the control of all of us because they are not keeping us informed. And that's my real sore spot right there, among other things. We talked about MIACOW. You know, this last week I had Fox News in Dallas come talk to me. And I was on TV, I think it was Thursday or Friday night. And the theme of the interview with me was, why are more people turning to the alternative media and the radio talk shows for the news and away from the mainstream media? And I told them it's because we're furnishing the truth and you people are not. And he I went through a few exercises with him and gave him some documentation. He says, well, have I been duped? I said, yes, you've been duped. You're ignorant. You've not done your research. And by the, you know what? I couldn't believe it. They put those statements, my answer to that question, on the tube. I was kind of surprised about that. And but anyway, it was a fair piece, but as a counter to me, they put on the local head of the Anti-Defamation League, and, you know, and then they didn't give me a chance to counter to him, but it was interesting. At least they gave us an opportunity to explain our position. You know, I think it's appropriate, Chip, to discuss drugs in Mexico and Bill Clinton going to Mexico. We've already talked about the 18 tons of cocaine that the CIA allowed to come up through Mexico into the United States, knowing full well it was headed for the United States. And also, we haven't really gotten into the details of the MENA operation when Bill Clinton was governor there. And with Bill Clinton going down to Mexico and today and talking to them, obviously, about the drug problem, and they're talking about sanctions against the Mexican government and decertification and so on and so forth, why don't you tell us a little bit about your personal knowledge of the MENA drug operation when Bill Clinton was governor?
Oh, boy, the MENA drug operation's tough for me to talk about. Only because, Ted, I don't have a lot of personal knowledge. I know it was there. I know it existed. I know Barry Seal on April 10th talked to me a little bit about MENA, about what was going on, and even said that they were going to need instructor pilots up there, not understanding exactly who I was when he was talking to me, thinking I was just the military person staffed or tasked with the mission in Honduras, not understanding that I was already with the agency and working for Mr. North in the NSC. He suggested that I would be able to get on with the CIA as a pilot, and training would be, you know, available in different places around the U.S. And I think he mentioned Ohio was one of the places where training was going on. He talked about his operations in MENA and how he's always after a good pilot.
Okay, you said April 10th of what year?
1985.
1985?
Uh-huh.
And Barry Seal, you want to explain to the audience who Barry Seal is?
Barry Seal was probably one of the most entrepreneurial drug pilots there are. He worked many sides of his operation. He worked for the cartels, he worked for DEA, and he worked for the CIA. Running drugs, that's what he did. He flew drugs.
And he was so knowledgeable about what was going on, did he decide he was going to blow the whistle on some of these people?
I believe he did. We sat down and I said, you know, all you're doing is digging yourself in deeper and deeper, Barry, when you don't protect yourself and set something aside. You need to list everything you know, whether you tape record it or whatever you do, and set it aside as an insurance policy for yourself. And what he did is he said, well, why don't I just tell you something? Why don't I tell you and you get it put aside, you know? I said, Barry, you know, I just want to know where these drugs that you're carrying today are going. I'm not going to be your insurance policy. I've got problems of my own. So he gave me what he called his boss hogs list of people that he has direct knowledge that were involved and how they were involved. I mean, this included foreign leaders. He talked about King Fahd providing millions and millions of dollars to start up their operation, get it funded, and get it going.
Time for a quick break, folks. You're right back. Ted Gunderson, Intelligence Report.
To join in on the conversation with Ted, call 1-970-587-5171. Or in the Denver metropolitan area, 1-303-654-9924. And now, back to Ted.
And we're back. My guest is Chip Tatum, 25-year CIA deep cover agent. Chip, Barry Seal furnished you a list of his boss hogs, you call them?
That's right. From countries around the world, the top dogs, or I should say top hogs, who were involved in with them in some way. And like I said, on the King Fahd issue, here it is in 1985, this list was done, and it's part of certified documents that I received from the Hondurans that were filed with them in 1985. Several years later, in his testimony, Mr. North comes to Congress and says that King Fahd gave them $15 million or some large million-dollar amount to start their operations down there.
Who are the other people on this list?
Well, in the U.S., he wrote, if you want to hear him.
Sure.
He under the U.S., he has Casey, Bush, Kissinger, Haig, Gregg, Claridge, Fernandez, North, Perut, Rodriguez, Weld, Secord, Bill C., Singlob, Claire George. That's what it is. It's hard to read this handwriting.
You're reading from his list?
Uh-huh.
What are you going to do with that list?
I stuck it I stuck a portion of the list in the Chronicles for the readers to have.
Okay, we're on the second hour. Let's tell the folks how to get the Chronicles.
The Chronicles, the Tatum Chronicles, are available at 1-800-201-7892, extension 58, 201-7892, extension 58. And long distance out of the country, it's 417-625-0303. Out of the country calls are 417-625-0303. And those are documents, folks, and I wish you'd take copies of these. Give them to your local law enforcement officials. Give them to your senators and congressmen and tell them Ms. Reno's statement about not having any evidence is... doesn't stand on its own. Here's some.
As Harry Truman would say, poppycock.
Yeah. I had another word, but I won't say it.
Yeah, well, poppycock, that's what Harry used.
Okay.
Okay, any other names on that list, Jeff?
Oh, gee, it's two pages.
You're
of names.
Kidding.
No.
2 pages long. Any other prominent names on there? You can't name them all, I
you
guess.
Know, I guess with Clinton and Young are on there.
Okay, and how about foreigners? How about people from
Europe? Let's talk about the country that Mr. Clinton is in right now, the Salinas Brothers. It says that not Raul, not anything, a particular name, speaking of both of them being involved, Salinas Brothers, and a guy named Abrego. I think Mr. Abrego, Juan Garcia Abrego, just received several life sentences for his dealing in drugs.
He's on the list.
He's on this list, that's correct.
How about some of our friends over in Europe?
Oh, let's look at the European side. We have some people out of Israel who are on the list.
Can you name them?
Kinchi, Nir, and Harari. Rabin. Then we're back into El Salvador, Duarte, Panama was Noriega, Harari, and Noriega's brother. Was on here. I guess he had since died, though. Let me see. Colombia, Ochoa, later, Navarro, Sarmiento, Duran, Ricardo, Prince B from Saudi. Quite an extensive list.
How about Europe and Asia and Russia?
Nope, didn't get into any of those.
Oh, he didn't get into Europe at all, then, no?
Well, no.
Maybe we got some clean folks over there.
Yeah.
There's got to be somebody involved over there.
Well, in Russia, someone with my last name was killed not long ago, so I don't know that I want to go over there.
I guess not. Well, what about Seal? Now, we mentioned on one of the shows earlier, he was gunned down, executed, supposedly by the Colombia cartel. But he knew too much. He was talking, and he was shot in Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Remember the date he was murdered?
I don't. I believe it was in January or February, outside of Halfway House, 1986.
Right.
However, on 30th of March, 1985, let me read you something out of the Chronicles. Notes on the back of a flight plan in 1985 that were placed with the Honduran government and retrieved in 1995.
This is your flight plan.
These are my flight plans. It said, Mr. North stated the following to the passengers. One more year of this, we'll all retire. Then he made a remark concerning Barry Seal and Governor Clinton. If we can keep those Hicks in line, that is, referring to the loss of monies as determined the week prior, during their meeting in Costa Rica. I silently stood by the vats of leaves listening to the conversation. General Alvarez, Honduran Chief of Staff for the Army, had gone to the with a Contra leader to discuss logistics. The other three, North Rodriguez and Amir Amnir, continued through the wooden building inspecting the cocaine. North continued, but he, speaking of Vice President Bush, is very concerned about those missing monies. I think he's going to have Jeb arrange something out of Colombia. He told his comrades, not thinking twice of my presence. What North was referring to ended up being the assassination of Barry Seal by members of the Medellin cartel in early 1986.
Well, he mentioned Bill Clinton there as a hick, right?
That's what he mentioned.
Those hicks from Arkansas, did he say?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. So Seal and Clinton apparently were skimming off the top, and based on this conversation, it would appear that. I can't say for sure. Oh, time for music, folks. Be right back. Ted Gunderson, Intelligence Report. And my guest today, Chip Tatum, 25-year CIA deep cover agent. Chip, Bill Clinton, He personally signed off on all the loans on the Arkansas Development Finance Authority when it was established, and it supposedly was established for the purpose of providing loans to churches and schools and students. And the first, one of the first loans went out to his buddy, Tyson Chickens, $10 million that was never repaid. None of the loans were ever repaid. They were using that, according to the Clinton Chronicles. Both, by the way, folks, if you don't have a copy of Clinton Chronicles, it's a video. You really have to buy it. And it's available through me for $20, by the way, to Ted Gunderson, Post Office Box 18000-259, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89109. But anyway, the loans were never paid back, and it's been well documented in this Clinton Chronicles that Clinton knew about the drugs. Larry Nichols personally told him about it. Larry was the marketing director for the Arkansas Development Finance Authority, and this was during the period that he was governor. Now, he was told about it, and he made the statement, well, that's a federal problem, not a state problem. And, of course, now that he's president, it obviously became a state problem then after that. But this Arkansas Development Finance Authority was set up specifically to launder money and to provide phony loans from the drugs to his buddies. And this is well documented in the Clinton Chronicles. You can send $20 to Ted Gunderson, Post Office Box 18000-259, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89109. And not only that, there's a witness in this Clinton Chronicles that says that Bill Clinton was sniffing cocaine. And so he not only, according to this Clinton Chronicles, was actively involved or knew about it, at least through the Arkansas Development Finance Authority, in the distribution of cocaine that was coming into Mena, Arkansas, arms and drugs out, but based on this girl, she said she attended parties and she saw him using cocaine. And if you ever look at Bill on television, you see his nose. He looked like Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, by the way. Have you ever noticed this, Chip?
As a matter of fact, I wrote an article when I was in prison about cocaine paranoia. I call it cocaine paranoia, and it talks about the symptoms of cocaine and how you can see that in our current sitting president.
Yes. And you know, we have some real outstanding people up there. We have George Bush, and we have Clinton, and every president, based on information that we have since Nixon, has known about the MIA POWs. And it's all geared in one direction, to take over the country, to take over the world, one world government.
Well, I know after I had the article posted on the on the World Wide Web, on the Internet, one journalist came back to me and said, how can you even say that you're responsibly reporting anything when you write something like this? And my answer to him was, I delivered 3 kilos of cocaine to the man. Let's talk about responsible reporting.
You delivered 3 kilos of cocaine to Bill Clinton?
Bill Clinton with a cooler of money in 1984.
Where did you deliver these?
We delivered it into Little Rock Air Force Base. We were met by 3 vehicles, a plain, unmarked police vehicle, which was driven by Buddy Young, a limo, and a van. Out of the limo stepped Dr. Lassiter, who we delivered several coolers to. He walked over with another man, introduced the other man as the governor of Arkansas. We had 2 coolers, a heavy one, a light one, marked donor organs. In the heavy one, it was all cocaine. In the light one, there was 3 kilos of cocaine and money. And
oh,
a note saying, I owe you $25,000 that I stuck in there. Sent the money to my friend and confidant, Bill Colby, and Colby subsequently called me and said, stay out of it, Chip. Let it go.
What did he mean by that?
Just what he said. You know,
stay out of what, you mean? I mean, just
don't get involved with this.
With these people, huh?
That's correct.
So you personally delivered 3 kilos to Lassiter and Clinton at the airport in Little Rock?
No, over 110 kilos to Lassiter. 3 kilos to 3 kilos went with Governor Clinton into his limousine, and then Jackson Stevens was the third man. He just stepped back into the limo with Dr. Lassiter, who was actually Dan Lassiter, who was convicted of drug trafficking, and it happened to be cocaine that he was trafficking.
And yes, and Bobby and Barry Seal, he was part of it, and he obviously probably had more information on these politicians than you did. That's why he was gunned down and murdered.
That's correct.
Well, yeah, that was kind of revealing. Do you have this in your Clinton Chronicles? I mean, not Clinton Chronicles, but your Tatum Chronicles.
In the Tatum Chronicles, it's there. It talks about on the 26th of February, I talk about the initial find in Honduras of the vaccine. It was actually cocaine, and how I remember on that particular day delivering that cocaine to that governor.
Right back, folks. That's Jonathan Seldon.
To join in on the conversation with Ted, call 1-970-587-5171. Or in the Denver metropolitan area, 1-303-654-9924. And now, back to Ted.
And we're back. My guest today, Chip Tatum, 25-year CIA deep cover agent. Folks, before we go back to Chip, over the weekend, we went into my computer to work on my letter that I'm going to write to all the former FBI agents in the United States. There's over 7,000 of them. And the letter has been erased. It's been taken right out of my computer. It doesn't surprise me. These people are capable of just about anything. Anyway, I'm reconstructing it, rewriting it, and I need your help, folks. It's going to run, I figure, $4,000 at least, maybe $4,500. To get this letter out, all the material I want to put in there, I want to put some information in there from Chip. And if you will just help me out, give me a hand financially, I'd appreciate it. Send your check or money order to Ted Gunderson, Post Office Box 18000-259, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89109. That's Ted Gunderson, P.O. 1000-259, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89109. And in the lower left-hand corner, put down FBI Project, so I'll be able to keep this all straight.
Ted, you got a caller from New Jersey.
Okay. Hi. What's his name?
It's Mark.
Hey, Mark. How are you?
I'm fine. Ted, enjoying your show today.
Well, I'm glad you are, Mark.
I wanted to submit some comments about the drug issue. I used to be in the Navy. I was on the USSM's DDG-18, which was decommed after I got out. We were stationed on the East Coast, and we made two or three drug patrols, one of which netted a 12-ton bust, and that was quickly eclipsed by one of the other ships out of Charleston with us, an FFG. I was on watch one morning. I was on the 48 watch in sonar.
Red Sea, right?
Yeah, so we're down in the Caribbean off of Venezuela somewhere, and the way we did drug ops was... let's just say it could have been done better, because what we would do is we'd get in close to the coast, and anyone who was running drugs would know to run and hide. And I always wondered whether or not the higher-ups were being paid off, because it would seem to me the sensible way to do it, would, if you're going to use naval assets, would be to place ships between the Yucatan Peninsula and Cuba, between Cuba and Hispaniola, you know, to hit the choke points where if someone's coming up from South America, they would have to pass around one of those areas. Well, anyway, I was standing watching sonar one morning, and I picked up this coastal freighter making racket loud enough to wake up the dead, and I told the radar guys about it, and they went to a higher range window, and sure enough, they had something. So we closed in and sent the Coast Guard team we had on board with us over to it, because the way the rules and regs read at the time anyway, we had only Coast Guard could do boarding. So we had a Coast Guard detachment on board our ship for this purpose. And anyway, the ship was empty. They said that they were going to Panama. Yet the charts of the Coast Guard people discovered had a track laid into Santa Marta, Colombia, which happens to be, just coincidentally, one of the big drug ports in South America. Hello. And we never waited for the guy to pick up his load so we could bust him on the way up, because unfortunately, the thing I was so upset about was that I didn't catch him when he was actually dirty. And they wouldn't, I don't know, for whatever reason, we didn't wait for this little tramp steamer to come with his load of pot so we could bust him. And I even was wondering, even back in the mid-80s, whether or not there were higher-ups involved. And then I later read a book about drugs in which I'd read a little bit about Barry Seal. It was plainly a setup. And that's basically all I got for you today.
Okay, Mark, do you have any questions you want to ask Chip?
Who all's involved and why isn't anything being... I got a better question. Based on historical precedents, it seemed like the European powers used drugs to bring down the old Chinese Empire back in the 18th and 19th century. I would like to know if the same thing is being done here, because from where I sit, it would seem to me that this is the case.
Go ahead, Mark. Chip.
I think that the drug monies are being done to take down a government, and I think it's being done to take down the government as we know it today and the Constitution as we know it today, and to help fund what they are calling a one-world government. I believe that that's what these heavy proceeds are going for. I don't think that these people involved took all the money, because there are billions and trillions of dollars we're talking about, and lined their pockets.
The question I was asking, because the European powers used drugs, mainly opium and heroin, to bring down the population so they'd be ripe for a takeover. I was wondering if that's what they're trying to do with us, to take us down without a shot, so to speak.
Yes, absolutely. I don't think there's any question about that. What do you think, Chip?
I'm with you, Ted, and Mark. The same, yes, absolutely. And Mark, let me tell you, one way that drugs were brought out during the 80s while you were down there, were brought out of Venezuela, is in the refined petroleum. They would actually put the cocaine, the petroleum would break it down and absorb it. When they got to where they were going, they'd reprocess it and bring it out.
Right. I had my doubts because, we'd go in close to the coast where everyone could see us. I mean, a Navy guided missile destroyer isn't easy to hide, folks.
Yeah, what year is this, Mark?
This was back, late 84, because we were all upset about going down there because we'd just done a 7-month deployment over in the Med, from April to November of 84, and then, we're going out in December of that year. So, this would be December.
Yeah, you were in the thick of it.
Or it might have been early 85, because we made another one or two trips down to the Caribbean after that.
Okay, Mark, anything else you want to comment on or questions you want to ask?
How come no one's bringing down the people responsible for this? It just seems like there's a lot of hypocrisy. They talk about a war on drugs, yet the people making all the talk about this are the same ones that are actually fostering and encouraging it while profiting very handsomely in the process.
Mark, have you ever heard the expression, the fox in the hen house?
Yes, sir.
That's what's happened here.
All righty.
Okay, thanks
Bye-bye.
For the call, Mark.
And one thing I'd like to say, Ted, in order to prosecute these criminals, they are federal crimes, and the Attorney General needs to step forward and do this, but we all know whose pocket the Attorney General's in.
Well, yeah, I mean, they're not going to prosecute themselves.
That's right.
And they have the control, they have all the money, they have the power, and the American people are ignorant, by and large, and the mainstream media is not reporting the truth. And, they have us coming and going, but fortunately, there are more and more people becoming aware and educated of this, and people don't trust the government. Okay, folks, be right back. Ted Gunderson, Intelligence Report. No question about it. Five-year CIA deep cover agent. We have Cliff from Colorado. Hi, Cliff.
Good morning, Ted. Good morning, Chip.
Hi, Cliff.
Chip, I ordered your Chronicles from your publisher.
Well, great.
And, Ted, I'm going to be writing you a letter trying to send you some money.
I appreciate it, Cliff.
I have a couple of questions.
Go ahead.
Can we trust Louis Freeh to rehabilitate the FBI to what it used to be?
The answer is no.
Okay.
Flat no.
Well, there was a Time magazine article that says that he, on occasion, has defied the White House.
Well, let me just tell you a little story, okay?
Okay.
I had a guest on Rodney Stitch here about 2 or 3 weeks ago. You apparently didn't hear the show. Rodney Stitch has information concerning a 21-year FBI veteran named Richard Taas, T-A-A-S. And by the way, Chip, I want to discuss him one of these days with you, one of these shows. Anyway, Richard Taas was in the FBI. He was in the New York office, assigned to a covert operation in Long Island, New York. He had 17 men working for him. Once he became involved in this operation, he realized it was an Ollie North CIA drug laundering operation, and so he reported to his supervisor in the New York office. His supervisor in the New York office ignored him. He wrote a letter to Judge Sessions, who was head of the FBI director at that time. He ignored him. Then he wrote letters to Congress. The next thing he knew, he was arrested for child molestation by the FBI.
I remember that.
The FBI has no jurisdiction in child molestation, and he's now serving 30 to 50 years. His supervisor in the New York office was Louis Free. Louis Free went from supervisor of the FBI in New York City to the U.S. attorney to a federal judgeship to director of the FBI.
Well,
did that answer your question?
That answers the question. The second question I had was, if you were chief of the FBI, was that chief of the field?
I was head of the. I was chief in three divisions.
Okay.
Well, I was head of the FBI Memphis office, and then I went to Dallas. Memphis, one of the smaller offices. Dallas, a medium-sized office, and then I went from Dallas to Los Angeles, which is the second-largest office in the FBI. I had over 700 people under my command, $22.5 million budget, and a tremendous amount of responsibility.
I get the picture.
I was one of the top executives in my day when I retired in 1979.
Well, let me ask one more question. I'll hang up because your conversation is too valuable for me to take too much time. But
no, this is all interesting.
What point in the history of the FBI did it lose its integrity and its honor? Can you pick a date? And I'll hang up and listen.
Yeah.
By the way, Chip, I'm going to order your manuscript, too.
Yeah, okay, good. You need to get a copy. Call 702-876-5208.
I've got that.
Obtain a copy of all my research and flyers that are available and order some of that material. And as Chip says, make copies from my copies. I'm not in this to make money. I'm in this to spread the word.
God protect you guys.
Thanks a lot. And you want to handle that one, Chip? His last question is about what stage did the FBI start deteriorating?
Sometime after Hoover.
That's right. Well, look,
you
what
know,
happened.
And the
mean,
problem is not having competent leaders within these agencies to lead. You know, when you have political appointees who have no clue how to investigate crimes or how to gather intelligence, you have a real problem.
Ted, you got another call from Pennsylvania.
Okay, hang on, Pennsylvania. I want to answer some more comments here. Also, Chip, the thing that's surprising to me, why do they appoint federal judges to the director's position? They don't have any law enforcement. They don't know anything about, as you say, gathering intelligence. These people are neophytes, and they don't know what in the world's going on.
And they don't have the respect of the people under them because of that.
That's right. That's right. But actually, you know, we did not have one instance of corruption in the FBI when J. Edgar Hoover was there. And since then, look what's happened. We have FBI agents involved in espionage with the Russians. We've had Waco. We had Ruby Ridge. We had a sharpshooter, FBI sharpshooter, murder a woman with a baby in her arms. We've had the Oklahoma City cover-up. We had the World Trade Center cover-up. And it just goes on and on and on. So, you know, an organization's only as good as its leaders. And there's no question about that. Do you have any more comments you want to make about the FBI, Chip?
Nope.
Okay, let's go over to Cliff. Cliff. Oh, wait a minute. We have another caller? I thought we had another caller.
Yeah, he's from Pennsylvania.
What's his name? Hi, caller?
Yes.
What's your name?
Jeff.
Oh, hi, Jeff, from Pennsylvania.
Yeah, from Philly.
From Philly, okay.
Yeah.
I used to live there.
Ted. Hello?
You have a question?
Yeah, I can't hear you too well.
Well, we're doing the best we can. Do you have a question, Jeff?
Yeah, I wanted to ask Chip. I saw a movie on TV about, well, it was Barry Seal. He was portrayed by Dennis Hopper. Did you see that?
I didn't, but when I was in prison, people told me about it.
Yeah, I just wanted to ask you if that was realistic or if it was just, you know, the regular Hollywood nonsense.
Well, if it portrayed Barry as a man, as an entrepreneur whose hopes were that the CIA would provide him his own proprietary Air Force, that he could have his own shipping company, that he could have his own casinos, that would be it.
Well, in my opinion, it portrayed him as a rat because he got busted smuggling drugs and then he turned informant and, you know, took pictures of all these other people that were involved in smuggling drugs and set them all up, and then they turned around and shot them.
Well, what do you say about that, Chip?
What I say about that is he didn't give up the right people, did he?
Right. Yeah, you're certainly right about that.
He was looking too far into his future and not protecting his backside.
Right.
Okay, any other questions, Jeff?
No, that's good. Thanks a lot.
All right, thanks for calling in.
Okay, Ted, see you now.
All right, take Bye. Care now. Folks, send that money in to me. Help me get this letter out to the FBI guys. They're out there playing golf today. They need to know what's going on. If I can get to 1% of them, that'd be 70 of them, I can start this Restore the FBI Foundation, educate them, and get them rolling. That's what it takes. It takes a groundswell. Isn't that right, Jeff?
That's correct, Ted.
And I think this is a very viable project, and it's kind of encouraging that they raced this. Somebody raced this letter out of my computer because somebody's concerned about it. Be right back, folks. Ted Gunderson, Intelligence Report. And my guest today, Chip Tatum. Chip, you're becoming a steady standby here. You're going to be a co-host with me pretty soon, the way we're going.
That'd be good.
Right with me.
You bet.
Anyway, folks, for those of you who did not hear the first hour, those on shortwave, of course, don't pick up the first hour, we discussed money laundering by the drug operators, particularly in Colorado because of the weak banking laws. We discussed the MIPOW issue, how our federal government has left the boys behind all over and around the world. We discussed CIA recruiting of civilians and how they double-cross them. There's no paper exchange. There's no contract. And when it comes time individual looks like he might be turning some people in like Chip is doing, one of two things, you go to jail or they wipe you out. And we also discussed how the many numerous prominent attorneys are in jail because they successfully defended individuals against the federal government. So, now, if you want to hear the first hour of this show, those of you who have internet can do it through www.amerifree.com. Or you can call the station, 800-205-6245, and call your local AM or FM station, wherever you're living, and tell them to tune in to this satellite, this American Freedom satellite. Also, on the Chip Tatum interview, we're having 12 hours, 6 shows, $120 value for $49.95. Now, this is without the commercials. This is just great talk between Chip and me and the people that call in. 1-800-205-6245, $49.95. You can obtain a 6 series shows, 12-hour interview between Chip and me and the people that call in. Don't miss this. Make copies. Get them out to your friends.
Hey, Chip. Ted, you got another caller from Missouri.
Okay, what's your name, caller?
Bill.
Bill from Missouri?
Yes, sir.
Okay, let's have it, Bill. Let's have a few minutes.
Chip, and the first time you were on, you mentioned that there were special plans for the militia. Could you enlarge on that at all?
Sure. The primary objective in any military operation, and that's what Mr. Bush has going, is a military operation, a treasonous military operation against this great country, is to deter any activity that could stop his forward motion. And I believe that because militia is being defensive in nature, and he knows that there will come a point that if he tries to commit treason against the United States, if our U.S. Army or U.S. Marines won't stand up against his treasonous activities, probably, and I don't know for sure, I'm not a member of any militia, but probably a group of Americans will get together and try to oppose that. And I think his plans are, and the government's plans are, to defuse that before it happens and portray militias as a radical group.
Well, they've more or less portrayed us as a bunch of terrorists.
Well, that's
the
media too.
And, well, not only that, their plans to put confidential informants in with, ATF will put confidential informants in with groups, talk them into doing certain things, even if they don't go forward with anything, just for teaching sakes. Look, you may not ever use this, he'll say, but let me teach you how to make a pipe bomb.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And at that point, you have violated federal criminal statutes, and you're going to go to prison.
Yes. Well, now, I was talking with Terry Reed yesterday, and he spoke very highly of you, so...
Well, thanks. Terry's a good man, and he and his wife went through a whole heck of a lot, and I think, you know...
Yeah, I know.
You should have Terry on the show. Okay, folks, time
now.
To go. Bill, call in again. Thanks for giving us a call.
Okay, bye.
Contact us. Write the Ted L. Gunderson Intelligence Report, P.O. Box 18000-259, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89114.
You can now listen to the American Freedom Network on the Internet. Check it out, www.amerifree.com, www.amerifree.com.
One of the many things people take for granted is this country's food supply. With today's economy and the lack of job security, no one's employment is certain. Layoffs occur at the rate of over 2,000 per day, and many times your paper investments are not readily available. In the real world, an investment into quality storage food is solid advice. A quality long-term food supply will store food for 12 years or more, and will always be at your fingertips when the unexpected occurs. Your family deserves the best, and you need to know that you are prepared. Knowing you will always have food will relieve a lot of your stress during tough times, such as layoffs or natural disasters. Call 1-800-205-6245. That's 1-800-205-6245 for all of the information on quality long-term storage food. 1-800-205-6245.
We are not
not politically correct.
We are KHNC 1360, Johnstown,
and KTMG 1370, Deer Trail.
Around the world, around the clock, this is UPI News. Charges have been filed in Dallas against the leader of the Republic of Texas and his wife. Richard and Evelyn McLaren are accused of federal mail and bank fraud. They, plus two other members of the group, are in jail after ending their standoff Saturday. Two other members of the group are still in the Lamb in the West Texas mountains. One of them apparently shot and wounded a tracking dog today. There's a report that a company in Phoenix may be held partly to blame for the value jet crash in the Everglades a year ago. The story from UPI's Jeff Bray.
The Miami Herald says Sabertech of Phoenix, Arizona, may be cited for allegedly making several mistakes in the way it handled oxygen generators. The newspaper reports federal investigators plan to issue censures against Sabertech, along with ValueJet and the Federal Aviation Administration. The Herald says the National Transportation Safety Board has determined oxygen generators either started or fueled